The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell from Zipify Apps. And I love OneClick Upsell because it offers an incredible amount of bang for the buck. If you get the app, it's simple enough and powerful enough that you can get it set up and get running in an hour or two, get those upsells in front of your customers. And in return, one in six of your customers are going to spend more with you because one in six people who are offered an upsell through OneClick Upsell actually take it. And that's money that just flows instantly without having to spend more on advertising, without having to go through painful, expensive, timely CRO processes. This is something you can set up and start seeing the fruits of right away. They've helped generate over $150 million in additional revenue for Shopify merchants just like you. So if that sounds interesting, you can learn more about OneClick Upsell and get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is sponsored by Klaviyo, the leading e-commerce marketing solution for email and SMS trusted by over 50,000 merchants. Why? Because they have a pretty amazing segmentation and customization engine built in to their marketing platform. It lets you send messages based on what your customers have done, what pages they've visited, how much they've spent with you, how much they're likely to spend with you over time with their very cool LTV prediction tool, what products they've purchased or haven't purchased. It's pretty incredible. And in a world where email inboxes are only getting more crowded, people are getting more ruthless, sending highly targeted messages is the only way you're going to be able to cut through the noise. And you can do that with Klaviyo. So if you want to make more money from your flows, from your efforts on email and SMS, check them out. You can start for free at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven-figure plus e-commerce brands build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today we're going to take that e-commerce brand side of thing and set it way off in the corner. We do a lot of e-commerce deep dives and geeking out around here. We're going to focus on the amazing lives part of that mission for today, at least. And talk about something that, man, if you're running a business, you have a million and one things vying for your time. You have your business, of course. You have your family. You've got health. You've got potentially your spiritual or faith-based part of your life. And then you have your friends and your friendships. And I would be willing to bet that more often than not, when push comes to shove and you have to start dropping things, those are the things, or that's one of the most commonly dropped areas in people's lives. Exponentially more so for entrepreneurs' lives who oftentimes we just jam our lives packed with so much stuff because it's pretty consuming running a business. And particularly if you look, this is hard to do in general as entrepreneurs, but for men particularly, guys are horrible at keeping their friendships up. If you just go on Google and look at some of the research, men are particularly bad at maintaining friendships. And the number of men who have even just one or two good friends as they age, it gets despondently low. It's really sad. And it has massive, apart from just, you know, from just importance and the social benefits that come with friendships, like it's like a real health issue, you know. I think I read an article comparing it to, you know, not having friends is akin to smoking like a pack or two of cigarettes a day. It's crazy. Anyway, I want to talk about some thoughts I have on friendship, how I've seen it work well in my life, structuring it, being intentional about it, because it's hard. It's hard to develop good friendships. It's even harder to nurture those over time when you have a million and one things going on and vying for your attention. So we're going to talk about that. Before jumping in, though, I want to give a big shout out to some of our new community members, our new private community members. I just had the chance to hop on a new member call with them and Patrick, our community manager this week. So a big welcome to Sean Lerner from balloonery.com, amazing balloons delivered in Toronto. Randy Williams from zenhabitats.com, high-end habitats and aquariums for different reptiles. Mark Ritz from carnivoresnacks.com, incredibly delicious looking jerky from high-end meats like ribeye. Jeff Racier from fullrace.com, where they make automotive equipment. Gavin Kaganoff from thebrobasket.com. Congratulations, Gavin, on the recent purchase. And finally, Christy Lowe from honeycombluxury.com, who, man, came into the forums and just started a mastermind, organized a meetup. Very impressive, Christy. So anyway, welcome to all of you. Great to have you with us. Yeah, thanks for being a part of the community. All right, let's go ahead and jump into some thoughts I've got on cultivating friendships as an entrepreneur. All right, a big caveat before we jump in here. First and foremost, I am by no means a preeminent expert on friendship. I'm definitely not the preeminent friend that someone could have. Get any, you know, get one or two of my friends to listen to this episode, and they'll be able to tell you by about audio mark 330 that I've already failed on two or three of the things I'm talking about, most likely. So, but it is something I try to think a reasonable amount about. Feel very, very blessed that I've got, you know, at least a couple of people I could, you know, count as good friends. And yeah, it's just important. I think it's getting, like I mentioned at the top, I think it's getting a lot harder to maintain, to make and maintain friends, especially as you get older, especially as we live in a really busy world as entrepreneurs. And so it's something I think about a lot and wanted to talk about. So I wanted to share some of the things that I have found helpful, some suggestions and some tips. And the first one is, if you can, try to plan big trips with longtime friends. We have, you know, if you think about the friends in your life, they're really good friends. Chances are, I'm a betting man, and I would bet heavily that your really tight friends, your friends that are going to help you bury the body if you need them to, right, are people you met either in childhood or in high school or college. A few exceptions in there, but by and large, those are going to be the people that you've really, you know, you go way back with. And the way life works is a lot of times we happen and we all disseminate across the world or the country, and they're not close. So it's hard to keep in touch with them. Not hard to keep in touch, but you know, I love seeing my friends in person. That's where really I love connecting with them. Definitely talk on the phone. And so the way that I have found it to work well is planning, you know, trying to plan a regular trip if you can with them. I've got a couple of trips with some of my really good friends once or twice a year. They revolve around biking this last year. Not all of them, but some of the really meaningful ones. We got together for 4 days and went on a bikepacking trip in Arizona. They all flew in to Tucson, and we just hit the road for 4 or 5 days, and it was amazing. And it's, if you don't, those big trips let you come together from, even if you live thousands of miles apart. And there's a ton of value, there's so much value in proposing an idea and asking people and planting that seed and making them opt out of something, creating an opportunity. I found this even with community building and events for ECF Live. Like, a lot of what we do takes a lot of planning and work, but so much of it too is just planning a, you know, putting a flag in the sand and saying, we're doing this at this time and I want you to be there. The first time we did one of these bike trips when my buddies came in, it's hard to get all these people to come. And I was a little devious, I gotta confess here. Two of my friends, one of them I said, oh, this other guy, he sounds like he's in, and he wasn't in. I didn't lie about it, but it was not entirely truthful. You know, maybe taking a few liberties. And he's like, oh, well, if all three of you guys are going to be there, then I got to be there. And then kind of did the same thing with the other one. Anyway, don't go to any means necessary. You know, don't be dishonest. Don't be immoral about it, but do what you can to try to get people together. And so just having those big rallying trips are, I have found to be a hugely valuable way to connect with friends that otherwise I wouldn't see. Secondly, you need to have local friends. Just having your best friend from college and high school that you talk to once every, you know, 3 months and relying on that is not going to cut it. You need people you can sit across the table from and have a drink with in person, or go out and have crazy adventures with, or, you know, that like can come over and really be with you if you're having a hard time. Like, you need local friends. One thing I'd recommend, don't just stick to the parents of your kids if you have kids, or the friends of your spouse. Like, it's easy to do that sometimes, but I'd strongly recommend like branching out from that and cultivating not just convenient friends, but real friends. Like, I have a lot of friends that just don't have kids. I have kids. I love my kids, but I have a ton of friends that don't have kids or aren't related to my kids' social circles or my wife's social circles. We're just friends because we get along really well. We like the same things and they're good people. So think about how you can cultivate not just friends, but local friends. A few things on this: prioritize, if you can, the 1 to 3 people who you want to see locally. And as painful as it is, try to focus on them, even if that means you have to turn down other relationships, because I would much rather have, you know, even just one really good friend in an area than, you know, half a dozen acquaintances. Wall Street Journal says, I saw this article, this note once, it takes 200 hours to build a close friendship. So you've got to see them at least, you know, at bare minimum every couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. 3 weeks is pushing it, I think. But if you want to build something up with someone, you got to see them regularly, at least every couple weeks. We'll get into some of my thoughts on kind of cadence later. But yeah, number two, get some local friends if you don't have them and make that a priority. Number three, be flexible. you know, you as an entrepreneur, your schedule is potentially, very likely, more flexible than that of your friends. Maybe you've got entrepreneurial friends, you probably do, but your friends that aren't entrepreneurs, they, you know, they probably don't have as flexible of a schedule as you have. So try to be as flexible as you can, partially because you probably have more flexibility and partially because friendship's really worth it. So for example, like on Thursdays, today, recording this on a Thursday, I didn't get in the office until late. I love being in the office at 9, like 9 to 12 is my like power part of the day where I get stuff done usually. I don't like a whole lot of things interrupting my mornings, but I've got a good group of guys that I'll play basketball with on Thursday morning. And I do that and I give up my morning partially, even though I'm super late because seeing good friends. And so tomorrow morning, same thing for the morning, going on a bike ride with a buddy. So anyway, be flexible with your schedule. And again, just putting more of that value, I guess, on friendship, thinking about the trade-off, but be as flexible as you can. I had a guy I want to connect recently, and he was really particular about where we were going, you know, what time we were doing it at, and not because he couldn't make it, just he didn't like the time. And there's another thing I invited him to do, but he didn't like that time either. Don't be that guy, especially in the early stages, but even with your established friends, like be as flexible as you can. It helps a lot. Number fourth suggestion here, as much as you can, double up hanging out with your friends with activities. My favorite here is friends and exercise. Like it's super important to be active, exercise, friendship, super important. Kill them both with one stone. Like I already mentioned basketball, bike riding, and this kind of stuff. Like that's an easy one for me. Even if it's just walking, getting out, going to the gym, try to double up on those is a huge way to, especially if you're slammed like all of us are, be able to get both of those things up. So double up your hanging out with activities. Number five, be forgiving and ask for forgiveness. So I'll start with forgiveness here. I am blessed with foot and mouth disease. Like I don't regularly say just wildly inappropriate or dumb things, but man, when I do, I go all out and I just did the grand slams of dumb things to say come out of my mouth. So, I mean, in the past 6 months, I can think of at least two times, maybe three, where I've had to apologize for doing boneheaded stuff to my friends. And even if you're not sure, like if you did something that offended somebody or your friend in particular, apologize anyway. Like, hey man, I don't know if this came off this way, but if it did, I'm really sorry. Because, you know, the number of friendships that have been ended due to perceived or real wrongs, they're huge. And a lot of times people don't know why they end, you know, or what happens. So yeah, ask for forgiveness when you need it. I'm, you know, very much have to do this regularly, but also be forgiving. Like everyone has their quirks. People are annoying, including you, including your friends. Like everyone has their issues. And give people a pass. Like when people do little annoying things, obviously this, you know, there's a limit here. There's always, you know, some people, they're gifted at being annoying on a regular basis. Maybe not the best person to spend the next, you know, regularly hang out with if they're intentionally doing stuff to annoy you. But people are people. I try to give my friends the benefit of the doubt. And if you want to have good friends, you got to start looking past some of the little things that they do. So be forgiving and ask for forgiveness. Number six, remember stuff. So when it comes to friends, cultivating friendships, you're not dating. It's not like you're going out, you know, and it's not like you're out on a Bumble date or anything like that, but in a little small way, you kind of are, right? Like you're trying to figure people out. What's interested? Do we connect here? And well, it's a world of difference if you're in a romantic relationship versus just a friendship. Like the little things matter. Like somebody has a birthday, remember their birthday, put on your calendar, call them on their birthday. I feel like the mark of like a good friend versus just kind of an acquaintance is like, do they just say happy birthday on your Facebook page or do they actually give you a call even for 3 minutes, like in the morning? They're like, hey man, happy birthday. I just thinking of you. Like there's a difference there. People notice that, you know, follow up about the big things in their life, which means you have to listen to them. People notice that as well. When you've got out of town friends, give them a text every now and then. Like I've got friends that I don't, those way back friends that, you know, we're back in your youth, and I'll go 6 months. Sometimes I've gone 18 months without talking to these guys. I consider them one of my best friend, you know, randomly sent him a bunch of gummy worms one time, which he loves just out of the blue. Anyway, just like those little things, those small little texts every now and then, even if it's on an 18 month schedule, like, you know, they help people remember that you care about them. Sounds super mushy and romantic potentially, but yeah, remember stuff. It goes a long way. Number seven, try to do stuff in groups. This is a little tricky because sometimes if you can build a strong group, like with a group dynamic of four or five or six people, there's something really powerful about that, like a crew, right? You think about like that 70s show with the whole guys down in the basement, they're all hanging out. Like there's just a great group dynamic here. That is rare, but if you can build it, it is amazing. And on the other front too, like if you can, especially with those bigger trips, if you can bring together three or four or five people and see them all at once, you have the chance to refresh, you know, three or four or five relationships all at once. And granted, if you're the one organizing that, that's another one of the benefits of being an organizer here, is you get to kind of bring the people together and bring some of your best friends together. And also you're likely, not necessarily, but very good chance you're going to also spawn some new friendships as well. So if you can do stuff in groups with people, and I'm saying this as being a huge one-on-one person, I love one-on-one time. Like that's how I best connect with people, is just, you know, it's just one-on-one good quality time. But that being said, like if, especially when you're trying to see a lot of people in a limited amount of time and keep some of those friendships, you know, invested in, doing stuff in groups is really powerful. And then finally, don't feel guilty when, you know, don't feel guilty and know when the time is right to kind of sunset a friendship. Like some people might take issue with this, but I feel like we go through different periods of our lives and people change. I change. I know my other friends have changed. And I'm sure I've been a bad friend at times to people, and I deserve to, you know, probably not necessarily be number one on their list of things to do. And I've also had times where, you know, I've had friends that just, yeah, they just, it was obvious they weren't putting as much into the relationship on a consistent basis, or they just, you know, they really were doing a lot of things that just weren't considered on a regular basis. And I just, you know, I thought, you know, life's busy. I got a family, a business, and other friends to all vying for time. And like, it made sense to just stop investing in that relationship. And I don't think it's sad. It's really sad, but I think at that stage, you just kind of move on. And if people, they come to you and say, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a come to Jesus, sit down moment. I think you can just stop investing in that relationship and invest in other areas of your life. And I'm not saying that relationships need to be 50-50. I think if this probably goes for, you know, if you're married or you have a spouse as well, like if you aim for 50%, you're probably, that's not a great place to aim. If you aim for like giving 70 to 75 to 80%, way our brains work, you'll probably actually give 50%. The perception versus reality will actually work well. So I'm not saying your friendships need to be or actually were at a perceived level at 50-50 give and take and investment. But yeah, sometimes it just isn't working or people change. So anyway, I don't think you need to feel bad about sunsetting friendships. Do it as tactfully and gently as you can. But yeah, invest where it makes the most sense. So those are some of my thoughts on friendship. So how do you approach people? How do you cultivate friendships, especially when you, man, I remember right out of college, moving to a new city, fairly outgoing person. I was 21, 22. The average age in the city was like 52. Anyway, it was hard. First 6 months I lived there, I barely had any friends. I'd come home and yeah, it was sad. It's hard. And so, so how do you build up a friendship, especially if you're in a new place? You got to put yourself out there. You got to be willing to have conversations and you got to be willing to fail. I think easing into it is really important. Start with a couple conversations with people, find some common ground. You know, the first time you go up to someone and you have a conversation, don't ask them to come to your house to dinner, you know, after you've been talking for 5 minutes. Like ease into it a little bit. Not that it's a bad thing. Maybe you hit it off great, but don't move super fast like you would in a dating relationship. There's actually a lot of crossover here between, you know, romantic relationships and friendships in terms of how you build them and invest in them. But ease into it. And then if it seems like there's mutual interest, like, and you guys are both connecting, yeah, offer to grab a drink, go do something fun, scale it up over time. Be upbeat. Like, I feel a little bad saying this, and maybe it's just my personality, but you don't have to be George Carlin, but be upbeat. If you're trying to make good friends, don't lead every time you see them with what's going wrong in your life. Like there's definitely a time and a place for that with people you know better. But if you're trying to just meet people the first time, spare them the agony of the doctor appointment that you just went to that you had to wait in the lobby for an hour. Nobody wants to hear that. And they're going to project that onto the rest of you. So, you know, be upbeat, be a good listener. That's goes for just about anything in life. Be proactive. I think especially early on, like assuming you have a decent sense of if you actually are connecting with someone, be proactive for the first 2 to 3 interactions. like make the suggestion to go grab the drink or go for the bike ride or whatever it is, have them come over for dinner, whatever it is. If there's no reciprocity after that, maybe give it some space. You know, you don't want to be the person who doesn't get the hint and just keeps lobbing invitation after invitation. But if people are taking you up on it and they seem engaged, be proactive early on. A lot of people just don't think about it or don't have time. So be proactive. Try to get something on a recurring schedule if possible. I have found this immensely helpful. If you say, hey, we'll get together sometime, and this is particularly important for people that you really want to, you know, those, say, top one or three friends in a local area you really want to invest in, do something regularly. And that could be, you know, a regular time you meet at the gym. It could be a regular coffee or you know, beer time you get together, poker night or walking or basketball, whatever it is. But if you can get something on a regular basis, at a minimum of every other week, that's amazingly helpful to set a cadence, get it on the calendar, build a habit. That's one of my top recommendations, I think, is build a recurring schedule into your friendship if you can. And then finally, like if you have a family, which a lot of people do, it's really hard, again, just mentioned this already, but juggling business, family, health, it's hard to do that well. And so especially family, like if family is making it hard to see friends, figure out, work around it. Do lunches. Do cut out an hour early before you got to head home and go grab a beer. Get your butt out of bed, and I'm horrible at this, early in the morning to meet your friends before you go to work. Make time for it. It's super important. So anyway, that was kind of a bunch of random thoughts from a podcast you tuned into expecting to hear about e-commerce on friendship. But it's a big deal. Like I heard once that one of the top, you know, seven regrets of people dying was that they didn't keep in better touch with their friends. Like there's something hugely primal and communal about us as humans, and friendship is, relationships are crucial, and friendships are an absolutely essential part of that. So if you're doing a good job of that, awesome. Hope you turned me off like 20 minutes ago. But if you're at a point where you've been prioritizing, you know, business over friends or over relationships, but friends in the case of this, just really encourage you to try to get out there, be intentional about it. Make a few less dollars this year and make one or two good friends. Just focus on one good friend. That's guarantee you be a worthy trade-off. Thanks so much for listening. And the fact that you made it to the end of the episode tells me you're probably someone interested in this stuff and might be a really good fit for the e-commerce fuel community. Our community is the world's largest group of 7- and 8-figure e-commerce store owners and offers a value-packed form, dynamic live events, and much more. If that sounds interesting at all, you should learn about membership and how to apply at ecommercefuel.com. Big thank you to our two sponsors. Supercharge your email marketing efforts with Klaviyo, the world's best email and SMS marketing engine at klaviyo.com/ECF. And also one-click upsell from Zipify Apps, where you can rapidly increase your average order value by offering powerful targeted upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Finally, thanks to Sherelle Torricampo for helping produce the show. Work hard, adventure often. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network live from New York.